February 1st, 2021, and this is the news, according to me. Oh. Just so you know what kind of morning this is, hopefully this isn't the way the whole month is going to turn out. I don't want to be a negative Nelly here, but I'm drinking dark hot chocolate this morning. Dark. The dark flavor hot chocolate. Because I need it. Got into work this morning. Got into work. I call this work. Got into the office this morning. This office here, mine. Only to discover that as I go through my normal routine, you know, I get my dogs in here. I shoveled some of my sidewalk. Not all of it. Because we got 37 inches of snow here. Maybe not quite that much. Probably, I think this area actually got more than my house. I'm only 5 miles away from my house. I think I got, closer to 7 or 8 inches here. But, of course, now it's hard to tell because when the snow plows go by, they cover up my office building here. They seem to like to take all the snow from the road and dump it all over my property. And after, especially after I get done shoveling off the sidewalk. And then they like to come by and find me for not shoveling off my sidewalk because they dump all the snow from the street onto the sidewalk. And they say I haven't scooped my sidewalk. I have such a rough life. Let me just dump on you here for a minute. Tell you how tough my life is. I was just, you know, last night as I was sitting outside in the cold. I'll be a little bit more specific. I was sitting out in the hot tub with my wife, outside in the hot tub, discussing how rough life is. And, talking about all the silver I just purchased, because my life is so rough. I had to purchase silver because I think it's going to go up. I don't really care if it's going to go up. And I've been meaning to get some for a while anyway, and it sounds like it's going to go up, and I want to get it while it's low anyway. Might as well. Going to get some anyway. Not that I'm a big precious metals guy. This is the first purchase I've ever made of any kind of metals, but it is one of those things where you want to diversify. It's actually biblical, very biblical. And I can get into that more later on, but that's like a whole teaching thing. But that's it's one of the well I just won't get into it right now. But it is actually very biblical to be diversified in your investments. So I get in here this morning, and you know, woe is me. I have to shovel snow. And I'm being kind of tongue-in-cheek. For those of you who don't know my sense of humor, I'm being very tongue-in-cheek about all this. you know, it's a rough life because this morning, you know, my wife, on her way to get up to go to work, woke me up. That was pretty tough. You know, I got it rough. I came in here and, normally my normal routine is I bring the dogs in. I don't have to shovel snow normally. This winter hasn't been that bad with snow. I get in here and I have two screens. I have an iMac. It's a big, huge, giant screen iMac. And then I've got this other screen. It's like a television. Well, it is a television. I use it as my second monitor. Got a little adapter that goes over to it, and I can run my second monitor over there. And the nice thing about a Mac is you can, with two fingers, you can swipe on your magic mouse, and you can make all, you know, you can have like all kinds of desktop space. So I go to turn on, I usually turn on the TV first because, and then when the signal comes up on the Mac, it automatically throws everything over there the way I usually leave everything set up the way I like it, and it all comes up in my little utopian world. And this morning, I push the button on the TV. I have a remote, obviously. I wouldn't want to reach all the way over there to turn it on with a switch. And it did not come on. I was perplexed by this. This was perplexing. That's my big word for the day. perplexed. I can't spell it, but I'm going to use it anyway. So I tried to turn the TV. It wouldn't come on. So I actually reached over and tried to push the button on the TV. I thought, thinking maybe the remote battery was dead. It gets me worked up just thinking about it. So I have to actually take a sip of hot chocolate here, calm my nerves. And stuff is in the way. So So on top of all this, I think, well, maybe the dogs stay underneath they have this little bed underneath my desk here, and that's where they usually sleep while I'm doing the show or anything else here at my desk. And so I think, well, maybe the power strip or something that got, maybe it got bumped or something down there. Maybe they chewed on the cord. I don't know. They were kind of lighting up this morning. So I went down there to look at it, and sure enough, everything's still in its place. It's up on a little shelf where they can't get to it. It's everything's kind of safe and sound down there. The plug seems to be working just fine. The power strip is on. Everything else works out of that power strip. So that wasn't the problem. So I jiggled the cord some more, and I came up here and pushed the button again, and still nothing. So it seems to be that, televisions just aren't made like they used to be. For one, they don't weigh 300 pounds, and they're about half the price they used to be, but they're a lot larger screen than they used to be. When I was a kid, I remember the little black and white screen, great big cabinet, little bitty 11-inch screen, 10-inch screen, whatever it was, and it was more round than square. That's what I saw the announcement for JFK having been assassinated on. That's what I remember seeing that as a child. I was less than 1 year old. I freaked out my parents when I told them I remembered that, with all those details that they had no idea I remembered. So I remember stuff that doesn't matter, typically. I can give you 15 minutes of trivia that will not change your life. I had the shock and amazement that my television that I use here as a second monitor is not working. So you can send in donations to help me fund this television. And any overage for this $100 television that I will purchase to replace this thing, any overages will go towards me purchasing silver or platinum or palladium. I don't know, something. I want to diversify. Or I'll just buy lunch with it. I don't know. Who knows what's going to happen with it. So that's the story that I have for you today. That's my little story. Now, as far as the show goes today, that's a whole different issue. And for some reason, I'm not even sure my internet's working now at this point. I should probably check on this, because if it's not, this is going to be a really boring show. I usually put my notes on a little notepad. And right now, I don't see anything happening. My notes have not updated. Because I take my notes at home, and they update on my little app here at the office. And, is it working? Is it going to work? I don't know if it's going to work or not. I may have to go here, go there, and then there, back to there. Yeah, I don't know. Doesn't seem to be doing anything that it's supposed to be doing. So... Oh, yeah, I guess it did. It did update. There it is. It's okay. It updated. Nothing else is working very quickly because it's all really slow right now. So that's enough of my morning. Enough about me. Let's talk about the news, according to me. So we have a lot going on. If you have a chance, I'm going to talk about some of the other people that I listen to typically in the mornings and some, what they're, just to fill you in on what's going on with other shows. Because it's pretty interesting. Larry Elder, he is on, I believe he is a part of the Epic Times, I believe. Maybe I should pull this up and see exactly what he is. American Thought Leaders, I think, is also part of Epic Times. But he's got a show on their channel, on their network. And this guy has statistics. Whenever liberals come after him, he is a rapid-fire statistical genius. The guy can very politely fillet anybody who debates him on statistics. he has a couple of little clips that he's done where he's been interviewed by some people. He recently was on a show with these two guys that were kind of tag teaming on him, and they were going after him about systemic racism. And he said that he wants examples, he wants statistics. And of course, the one guy goes, "Oh, all you've got is statistics. You don't understand anything about humanity." And statistics are facts. And the narrative that is being promulgated by the news media and organizations that are being used by the left, I don't know if you noticed or not, but all of a sudden BLM doesn't matter anymore to the left. They used that. It was very convenient. If you look into the book Rules for Radicals, there's something called the useful idiots. That's how they consider people who do things like BLM. The left thinks of them as useful idiots. Antifa is like the most useful idiot they have. In fact, I think that they probably used Antifa. I know they did it. I know they did. They used Antifa on the day on December 6th. January 6th, when they had the attack, the deadly attack on democracy that happened on January 6th. Why do I keep saying December? January 6th. Because they can use that, they can use those people to then push their agenda, which the agenda is we have to lock down the Capitol, we have to keep this optical view of the nation is under siege and these people are trying to stop democracy, so we have to continue to keep these troops here, we have to keep the fence around the Capitol, and every night the Capitol has to be dark. For the first 10 nights, I'm not sure if it was lit up last night or not. The Capitol is always lit up. Well, ever since January 20th, the Capitol area has been completely dark. All the grounds lighting that is normally on, and typically the White House itself is usually lit up, and the Capitol building is usually lit up. Not from the inside, typically from the outside, at least from the outside. Nothing. It's completely dark. As if it's wartime. Because we have a person in the White House right now who has signed more executive orders in the first 10 days in office than any other president, all the other presidents combined in the first 10 days. And he is on record just a few months ago saying that only dictators lead by executive order. Well, okay. By your definition, then, you are what you claimed Trump was supposed to be. The projection from the left is absolutely astounding. When they start accusing someone of something, you have to take a step back and say, okay, 9 out of 10 times, so far, they've been proven to be the ones who are actually doing what they claim, or willing to do, or going to do, what they claim the other party is doing. And a little report came out by the FBI, believe it, of all places, the FBI, came out with a report stating that Hillary Clinton, who was one of the first people to say that the Russians, when I heard it, I thought it was the weirdest statement in my life. She came out and said, well, we understand that it may have been the Russians who interfered in our election. I hadn't heard it from anybody else before I heard it from her. I didn't hear any reports from anywhere else. It wasn't in the news. It wasn't in any kind of publication that I saw. She was the first one to break that story. And guess what? All of a sudden, it was all about the Russians. So she knew what was going on with Peter Strzok Andy McCabe. I'm sure that Comey knew what was going on. So, because that was their insurance policy. And remember, Comey went to the White House, had a meeting with President Trump, or to the Oval Office, had a meeting with President Trump and tried to shake him down with the information from the dossier. That's what happened there. So, we have all this going on, and Hillary, then, now that this FBI report has come out to finally say that actually the person who was doing had the deal with Russia was actually Hillary Clinton. Now, you see, understand, Hillary Clinton bought and paid for the dossier that Christopher Steele had. They went after Carter Page, who was a former informant asset of the CIA, who happened to be working in the Trump campaign, which gave them an in to go after, to monitor him. He's never been questioned by the FBI. He's never been investigated for anything, but he was supposedly under investigation, but they never asked him any questions. He was the convenient, I'm going to say stooge. He's not a clown. He's not a stupid individual. He's a very intelligent individual. But that was their stooge. To them, he was the stooge. And if you understand what the definition of a stooge is. So they used him and his position. But they never brought him in for questioning. Never once. So he's suing them. And he's going to win that case. And of course, in the process, they will cover that up. The media won't say anything about that. They're not going to talk about that at all. In the process of all of this, it has finally come out in a report, a very buried in a report that you will never hear in mainstream media, that Hillary Clinton was the one who had the deal with Russia to interfere in our election, because they were the ones, in conjunction with Christopher Steele, who built up the dossier. It was made as a, quote, insurance policy against Trump. If he would win, they were going to go after that and impeach him and do all this stuff. And by the grace of God, nobody in the Trump campaign, nobody in the Trump family was, and unfortunately, Donald Jr. was almost corralled into that, with that whole thing about adoption, with the one lady that tried to meet up with them about all this adoption stuff, and then it turned it in. It basically was a nothing burger. They met up and they left the meeting, but they were able to at least pull off the meeting. And that's really all they thought they had to have, was this meeting. If we can tie that individual to the Trump campaign through Donald Jr., then we've got him. That was their whole thing. It didn't work out quite that well. The media played it up as if it was this big deal, but it was, you know, it turns out there was no exchange of information, nothing there. So that's what we're dealing with here. And by the way, the whole election, I just want to make this statement clear. I'm taking notes about all the stuff that has happened and all the statements that are being made, all the things that have happened during this time here in 2020. Because the hope is, from the media and the press, the politicians, they are hoping that this, in a sense, will kind of, by 2022, they're hoping, by the first part of next year, I guess that would be 2022, they're hoping that this all goes away, that nobody remembers anything about the election irregularities, the fraud that took place, the lack of investigation into anything. They're hoping it all just goes away and everybody forgets about it. And the only thing that they remember is, yeah, it was a legitimate election, and therefore you just move along. And anybody who says anything otherwise, you're part of the insurrection. You're part of anyone who questions this election. Think about that. Anyone who questions anything about the election is a domestic terrorist. You are labeled as such, and you need to go back to reprogramming, and you are an enemy to the democracy, which we have a republic, but that's what they say. So this continues to happen. I'm taking notes of all this stuff. And if I'm still around a year from now or 2 years from now, I'm going to be continuing to mention it. And I'm also going to be mentioning all this stuff again in 2024 when that time comes around. Because frankly, I know that people will forget about it. And what they're doing is absolutely, it's shocking, in my opinion, what they're getting away with. And the way the media is covering this thing up. And the way they're censoring people. And the way, you know, the individuals that are involved and the organizations that are involved. Everything from the Federal Reserve to the Treasury Department, the FBI, whole thing. Now, I ask you this. We know, we saw it on video. Has anyone talked about the investigation that's going on with the four ladies who were running the voting machines down in Atlanta at the time of on November 3rd, in the wee hours of the night after everybody was sent home? Has anyone actually investigated that? From the FBI, from any kind of federal standpoint? I have not heard of any report of anything at all that's been set into place from the Justice Department. And of course, now we have a new Justice Department. I guarantee you, the only thing, if they do go in to investigate anything now, I guarantee you it will just be to cover things up. Because that's what they do. They're fixers. They go in, they fix it. They do the investigation, they walk away and say, nothing to see here. And we're just supposed to believe them on that. Then we have the issue of the four ladies who did that. You know, the state really should be the one to start the investigations there. They should be looking into it. Kemp, Governor Kemp, should be looking into that. Secretary of State, State Attorney General, they should all be looking into that. Nothing. It's just, you know, all we're hearing. It's the best, it's the most secure election ever. It's the most pristine, no voter fraud. And they continue to say there's no evidence of widespread voter fraud. It doesn't take widespread voter fraud. However, there is evidence of widespread voter fraud, but it doesn't take widespread voter fraud when you've got an election that was won by 12,000 votes. And I'm harping on the same thing all the time, but I just don't want people to forget this. We cannot walk away from this and forget this and act like it's all going to be okay in 2020 or that there's going to be some kind of a landslide. And they may even allow a Republican landslide in 2022. They might let it go just to make it say, oh, see, the system's not rigged. Because as long as they've got the executive orders in the White House, and as long as they, you know, they'll have either the House or the Senate. They'll have one of those two. They won't let both of them go. But I guarantee you, over the next year, if this Commission on Voting Fraud is actually established, which I think is very interesting to see how this is all shaping up. Right now, I know that Trump has completely changed his lawyers for this impeachment trial, and my understanding is, there might be a couple of senators involved in his new, representing him now in his trial, which is highly unusual. However, it's also highly unusual for a president who's left office to be impeached. It's also highly unusual for a senator to be sitting as the presiding judge over the trial in the Senate. None of this is constitutional. None of it. There's no constitutional precedent on anything that they're doing right now. Justice Roberts knows that. He won't give it. Normally, when a justice or a judge recuses themselves of a case, normally there is a formal statement as to why they are recusing themselves. The only statement we got was, I'm not going to do it because I will not be involved in a second impeachment of the same president. That's not an excuse in the, it's not a constitutional excuse. That's not, the Constitution says that's your job. It is your job to preside over the impeachment trial. So what you're saying is you took an oath to uphold and you're like the top dog to uphold the Constitution. The buck stops with you with upholding the Constitution, and you're going to back out of fulfilling the constitutional obligation because why? Because you've already done one, you're not going to do two. You get peace rate? Is that what you're getting? Not getting paid for that? I think it's pretty obvious that he doesn't want to get involved in something that's unconstitutional. Now, I don't know if the lawyers are going to file suit on that issue and have it go to the Supreme Court, because you know you can't trust them. I used to think that the Supreme Court was, you know, that they would see the law. I really thought we were putting constructionists in there, that, you know, the originalists that were going to look at the law and just, you know, all the stuff that they said during their confirmation hearings. The law it speaks on its own, and you don't, you know, you can't interpret the law. It's not about, you know, it interprets itself, and you must go by precedent and settle. Okay, so we got you in there because of all those reasons, and now you, all of a sudden, you don't want to get involved in impeachments or election law or states lawsuits. Excuse me, but, and maybe you're just looking forward to the day when there'll be 24 justices on the bench that they'll select 15 at a time for, and you basically can take off and go to the beach for, you know, 5 years and then come back when they call your name up to do a case. Maybe that's what this is about. I don't know. The whole thing blows me away. So we now have the judge or the lawyers for Trump are being switched, and he basically fired all these. This is what I'm understanding is what has happened. He's changed his lawyers completely for the impeachment trial, and the impeachment trial is supposed to start next week. I believe on the 8th. In the meantime, that's the only thing that's going to keep the election fraud alive, if anything. Now, they are still going after Josh Hawley and Ted Cruz and a few of the others who, they were the most notable ones, who raised the objections to some of the Electoral College votes. And they're still saying that they are a part of the insurrection. And this, you know, if you've heard AOC's statement, Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, whatever her name is, she's come out and talked about it, and as if she knows anything about anything. She's really good at reading speeches. She was actually an actress. I don't know if anybody understands how she got put into position there. The Chunk Yeager, that whole group, how they came up with like 120 different candidates in different races, and I think they ended up getting like 20 or 30 of them into office, and she was one of them. And they basically went through like an audition process to see who could be their little puppets. So we have this a situation where lest we forget, kind of thing. We should not forget what just happened here. Because it's, and I know people are tired of hearing about it, but you know what? You're going to keep hearing about it from me. So, because we're not going to forget about it. Now, let's talk about Joe Biden's week ahead. This is his second full week sitting in the White House. I think what we're going to find is there's going to be some problems. I started off here talking about Larry Elder, and I was talking about some of the other, just talking about some of the YouTubers that I like to listen to. So I'm going to try to go back to some of that. If you get a chance, just look up Larry Elder on YouTube and see his latest, post that he made. I think it was yesterday or day before. I think it was actually yesterday that it was, or Saturday that it was posted. I didn't get to see it till yesterday. Mark Dice is another guy I typically follow quite a bit. He had a little, his thing this morning was about Jen Psaki, who is the press secretary. Folks, this is a bad show. This is almost a reflection of who Joe Biden is. He is extremely, he's losing it, and she's, I mean, if you remember Kellyanne McEnany, when a reporter would come up and ask her a question, she would pull out this binder that she had tabbed with information that she would just literally, like a, it was like an MP5, just rattling off truth, you know, just like crazy, just giving the, you know, the truth about all these dates and times and places. And of course, they would cut away and say, oh, she's lying. She was quoting facts, quoting statistics. This is what's a little bit spooky about this whole thing, is that you can give them facts, and if it doesn't meet the narrative, it's not a fact anymore. All of a sudden, it's just the strangest thing. And anyway, he was talking about her and kind of some of the incompetency that's going on there. Along with some of the other things that are going on with that, there was Ilhan Omar, I guess, has made some comments about people who are anti-abortionists, pro-lifers. She as opposed to the pro-death people. She made some comments. I'm going to look into that for the this afternoon show, because hopefully Rabbi Rick will be here. I don't know if he's going to make it over here just because of the weather. We had quite a bit of snow here in this area over the weekend. Roads are kind of nasty, and I'm not sure if he's going to make it over today or not. But if he does, we'll talk about the Ilhan Omar comments. I'll make sure that's in the show notes, get his opinion on it. If you get a chance, though, you'll probably hear more about it. If you do any digging at all on YouTube, you can find some information about it. But it's kind of interesting. Well, it's a disgusting comment, actually. But yeah, she's something else. There's that, and then there is a few other comments about this. Okay, so one of the big things, and I mentioned a little bit earlier, is buying silver. And the whole GameStop thing is part of this. The Reddit group basically is going after, I guess the banks have been keeping silver down in price for a long time because they use it. A lot of banks use silver to trade. A lot of coin is done in silver, and it's still a part of the staple for banking. It's kind of a behind the scenes thing, and a lot of people really don't understand it. JP Morgan and a couple other banks have been doing most of the legwork or the grunt work on keeping the price of silver down. And it's been down as low as, I think, I don't know, that's down in the teens for an ounce or less. It's like way down there. And I think last Friday, Thursday, something like that, it was like at $24 an ounce. It's now at $28 an ounce. The Reddit group that is that's being followed and kind of talking about what they're doing and how they're going to do it. Everybody's going after silver now. Here's the problem with some of this stuff. And I heard one guy talk about it over the weekend. GameStop stock went up in value from like, well, it was earlier. It was like $4 a share. I think it went up to I don't know, it was up in the $8 or $10 a share or something. And then next thing you know, it's $30 a share. And then all of a sudden, it's $300 and something dollars a share. It went up like 10 times what it was because of this Reddit group. And it was being shorted by a couple of hedge fund managers. Now, I'm not going to get into all the explanation of that. You can look that up on your own. I'm not going to spoon feed you. But basically, what they were doing is they were driving the price down. These guys who make their money by driving stocks and companies out of business, and they are able to go sell short the stock, and then that's how they make their millions of dollars, tens of millions, sometimes billions. Well, because the stock went up to about $300 a share or more, and then, of course, a couple of the trading apps that were used to buy and sell this stock shut off the ability to buy any more of it. And they only had the ability to sell, left the ability to sell. Well, that drove the price down because people kind of panicked and got out of it. They weren't sure what they were going to do. So in the meantime, people made a fortune. Some individuals who put, you know, put 10 grand in there, now all of a sudden you've got 100 grand. And some people put in more than that. And it just, it went nuts. And there, you know, some of these guys are, there's billions of dollars that got transferred from out of these guys' pockets that they didn't have, money they didn't have. They had to borrow money from other hedge fund guys. And of course, who do you think should step in? Now, this is something that both Ted Cruz, Bernie Sanders, AOC, all agree the little guy was in the right on this. Nobody is standing up, sticking up for the hedge fund managers. Except for, well, Jimmy Kimmel, for one. Kind of weird. But the other guys that are sticking up for it are, you know, you don't hear anything out of Biden. Biden doesn't understand what a hedge fund is, first of all. He will read a script of, you know, a speech that someone tells him to read. And it will probably be written by one Janet Yellen. Now, she's not just Yellen because she's trying to be heard. That's her last name, Yellen. So she's the new Treasury Secretary. Now, you have to understand who Janet Yellen is. Janet Yellen was involved in the Federal Reserve, and she's been involved. She's been around since the 90s, in and out of politics and political people because of whoever's in office. She was involved with the Clintons. She was not involved so much with Bush, but during the time that Bush was in office, for those eight years, she made over $7 million just in speaking engagements, at least that she reported. Now, you don't go to a company like Citadel and give a speech and make $150,000 because your speech is so good. It was just worth so much money to hear that speech for that 30 minutes you gave. That was worth $150,000. Every minute was just like a truth bomb falling from, you know, oh, it's just amazing. So she is now the Treasury Secretary. All that time she was making money. And then of course, during the Obama administration, she was also involved in politics again. She's back in the federal, I believe she was on the Council of the Federal Reserve. She was also in the Treasury. She is now the chairman of the Treasury. First woman ever to be Treasury Secretary, which is all that we should, that's all that should matter. Whenever you ask a question about her, they asked Jen Psaki, who the, you know, what her statement would be, or what her opinion was of what happened with the GameStop thing. And all she said was, well, we have the first woman secretary, Treasury Secretary. Isn't that amazing? Oh, okay. Great. Well, what about what happened? Well, I'll circle back with you on that. So then someone asked to circle back. Someone actually called her out on that the other day. Said you'd get back with us on this this issue. She started flipping through pages. Yeah, this is on Mark Dice's little report about Janet. Jen Psaki. She starts going through all these pages. I can't find that. I'll have to get back with my people. I'll check with my people and we'll get back with that. Yeah, that's what we got here. I want to know when Joe Biden is going to step into that podium and take Jen Psaki's place and just say, hey, I'm going to field the questions today. I'm going to step in and field the questions today. Because, you know, he can. I'm sure he's perfectly capable of doing that. He's really sharp on his toes like that. Yeah, that's never going to happen, folks. It will only happen if they can keep certain individuals out of that press room, or they will only call on certain people that they've already got questions for, and they'll have a teleprompter up there for him or an earpiece in his ear. Now, here's how I see things going out this week. What I'm noticing, what is happening with Joe in terms of his, there's two things. One is his voice, the way he's speaking. The other is the way he's walking and acting. his facial expressions and those kinds of things. He's developed a bit of a stammer in his walk, and I call it a toe shuffle. He starts to shuffle, putting more weight on the balls of his feet when he walks. He's not walking with a standard. The physics of walking, here's how a person walks. When you look into the physics of it, you are basically falling forward and catching yourself with each step, putting your foot out in front of you to catch yourself as you fall forward. That's what walking is. When you start to shuffle with the weight on your balls of your feet, you are now uncertain about this. You don't have the ability to trust yourself to lean forward and fall and to catch yourself. So what you're doing is you're putting your foot out there to make sure you have a place to put it. It's a very strange phenomenon that starts to happen with people who have certain disorders. And I know this because I'm not a doctor, but because I watch a lot of YouTube. So, you know, I learned this in high school in physics class. And I've never forgotten this. I thought it was so fascinating the first time the teacher said something about the act of walking is you're falling forward and you're catching yourself. And then we started talking about different, like people who walk with a limp, people who walk, you know, it was just fascinating to me to understand how the physics of just something so simple that we take so much for granted, that you're just the fact of just the issue of walking. And, you know, that was like, 90 years ago when I was in high school, I think, something like that. So anyway, we had this, this is what's happening with him now. And I'm starting to notice those kinds of things. And then and I don't know whether it's because I'm in the voiceover industry. I don't know why it is. I think it is. I listen to voices all the time, and I'm very cognizant and very much aware of, I hear radio voices or any kind of advertising, you know, videos, and because I do a lot of voiceover work, and so I'm always kind of listening for different tonality, different presentation, different ways I can hear something in my head. When I read a script, if they want me to give them like an ABC of a particular line, I can say that line 10 different ways. And so I practice those kinds of things just on a regular basis, just because I do those kinds of things on a regular basis. So it's a lot of times I'll hear something on the radio and I'll try to repeat it back, you know, and see if I can say it the way they said it, just to kind of give myself a little bit more repertoire in my portfolio. It's a big words. I think they're French. So they had, I hear voices a lot, and I'm starting to realize that when I hear someone speak, I've developed kind of a hypersensitivity to not judging them, but just kind of knowing whether or not they're telling the truth or not sometimes, or whether or not, you know, what kind of, that there's something amiss there. There's something not right. Or that someone else, that they really don't believe what they're saying, or that someone else told them to say what they're saying. Sometimes it's not even that it's not true. Sometimes it is true. They just don't believe it. And I can tell that sometimes. So I hear that sometimes in the voices that are being spoken from the people who are speaking from the White House. And when I hear Joe Biden speak, it is very uncomfortable for me to listen to him. When he gives a speech, he tries to make every line dramatic. And he has this look on his face with kind of a scowl, and he's been taught how to do that over, you know, 40 years in Congress when he makes a speech, and he's wants to say it real dramatically and punch it home, but every line comes across that way. Conversationally, he's lost. He can still read a teleprompter. He still has eyes good, and his eyes, you know, are good enough that he can still see well enough to read a teleprompter to say what he needs to say. But it is obviously written by someone else. These are not his original thoughts. And this continues to go on. And it's because of all the stuff that they've been giving to enhance his mental capabilities, you're going to see more, and this is going to rapidly deteriorate. And the more it deteriorates, the faster it will deteriorate, according to what I've read about some of the stuff that they're using for mental acuity stuff. It's very hard on your central nervous system. It causes your brain to kind of overwork, and it's interesting. The brain it's an amazing thing, but sleep has a huge, sleep has more to do with your body's, with your brain, actually has more to do with your brain than it does with your body itself. Your brain is what needs sleep more than your physical body does. Your body needs rest, and it can repair itself during rest. But your brain, it's during that time of sleep where your brain is able to transfer short-term memory into long-term memory. That's when it's converting all those things. If you're doing a lot of studying, you study for about like an hour or half an hour. Half an hour is usually better. You study for half an hour, take a nap. Your brain will convert what you've studied into long-term memory much better than it will if you stay awake and try to just struggle through and study through the night, or try to study another hour, take a 15-minute break and whatever, and then try to study again. If you literally take a nap for a little while, it will be better. You'll be better off than trying to study for say you study for 30 minutes, you take a nap for 30 minutes. You'll be better off than if you studied for an hour. It's an amazing phenomena. Now, actually too much sleep can be actually hard on your physical body. But it's typically good for your brain. So what fascinates me about this is that just different mammals, like there's one particular mammal whose brain it's about the same size as ours, and it's been estimated that there is a lot of thinking patterns and a lot of, they usually register any kind of mammals or animals that have the ability to recognize words. They kind of see that as an IQ type test for an animal. They use this especially with dogs, because if a dog can recognize, 220 commands, for instance, that's a pretty smart dog. If the dog can only memorize or recognize like 180 or so, that's not quite as bright of a dog. Most Australian Shepherds, Border Collies they're in the 200s with their commands. Some of them are close to 300 words. Collies of all kinds, basically Border Collies, Australian Shepherds, that breed, also, German Shepherds are certain German Shepherd breeds are very high, up in the 200 range. And then you got your, I won't talk about who it is. I just won't mention them because then I'll just make some enemies. But there's some of those dogs out there that just are, I won't mention who they are. There's one mammal that has basically the same size brain and functions supposedly very similar to our brains, has a very complex social structure within their pods. Now, you know where I'm going with this. If you know what a pod is, dolphins. Dolphins have a very complex social structure. Most whales do, dolphins aren't whales. So they're very similar. They have to breathe air. They can't sleep on the surface. They can't float there and sleep. So they can't sleep. And yet their brain still functions properly. And here's the fascinating part. More trivia that's worthless to you. But here's the fascinating thing about this. They can turn off half of their brain and let it sleep while the other half does its thing. And then they switch and the other half sleeps while the other side's on. Now, I don't know enough about their brains to know whether or not one side is creative and when the other side's, you know, they do numbers and graphs and charts with one side and artistic stuff with the other. I don't know if that's the case or not. I have no idea. I'm sure that they have a different function. Like their one side of their brain functions one way. One side might be more for hunting and catching fish. The other side's more for, I don't know, by working in the circus. I don't know what to do. I'm not sure. I'm sure that there's different functions. Like one side of the brain is more dominant than the other as far as what they're able to do, but they are actually able to sleep one side of their brain while the other side is functioning and then sleep the other side of the brain. Whereas in school, when I was in high school and mostly even when I tried to do a college thing, I made an attempt. When I was in school, I was able to make both sides of my brain sleep at the same time. Most of the time I was in class. So it was pretty fascinating, actually. I'd walk out of there very refreshed. And I wouldn't know anything more. Other than that one day in physics when I learned that falling forward and catching yourself is the act of walking. I did walk away with that. So, all that said, I have no idea. I haven't been watching my time here because I have to. I can't pull up all my stuff on the screens because, well, you know why? Because about an hour ago, I talked about my TV not working. So I have to kind of like page through all my screens now, which is kind of weird. So I'm not used to that. So I forgot to even pull that up, but it's working. It's still working. It's still there. It's still working. The one other thing, that's the thing about Joe Biden. Now, his cabinet is looking more and more like this is like the third wave of Obama. And I'm not exactly sure. I know I talked about this with Rabbi Rick last week. We talked about who is actually running the show. Who's actually doing this thing? Who's really in charge? Now, Valerie Jarrett, I know that Susan Rice was actually interviewed on some Sunday shows yesterday, at least one or two. And so she's back on the scene. She has been a person who has really freaked me out over time. When she's just her ability to go on television and lie is just beyond belief. She after the Benghazi thing, she went like on a major tour of like five different TV shows and talked about the YouTube video that caused the Benghazi riot. I guess that's what that was. Because, you know, when a spontaneous riot breaks out, people just kind of reach into their pocket and pull out their grenade launchers. I guess that's how that works. I saw a video. Get the grenade launcher. Yeah. So, and that kind of comes back to the whole, that brings us back full circle back to the Capitol issue that happened on January 6th. And how the left is going to use that to the fullest extent that they can, and the media is right in the tank with them, lockstep with everything that they're doing. Pravda is doing their thing. And it is, we are living in a time unlike any other that I've seen. This is, of course, now back to the election. Arizona now, I talked about this last week a little bit, but they actually have officially started doing the forensic audit of the machines in the largest county in Arizona, which I think is Maricopa County. I think that's where Phoenix is, I believe. So they're doing a forensic audit now of those machines. Now it's been, let's see, that was November 3rd. We've got all of November, all of December, and all of January, basically 3 months. So 3 months that they've had time to tinker around with that. And I'm sure the security around those machines has been, you know, as good as the security around Jeffrey Epstein, at least. So What was that? Oh, somebody just told me he didn't kill himself. So he, they've got this now, this permit. Now they're going to go ahead and go on through this forensic audit of the machines. This is a joke. Okay. I'm glad they're doing it. They need to do it. And here's something about this whole impeachment that I wonder. I'm going to bring this up with Rabbi Rick today and see what his opinion of it is. Because I've got this funny feeling about this thing. The Democrats have a way of shooting themselves in the foot. And the media always covers up for them, and they're always able to pull stuff off because they just do. I don't understand it. But here's the weird thing about this whole thing. What if, in the process of this impeachment trial, they are able to bring forth evidence of the election issues? What if something's able to be brought out during this whole thing? Of course, the reason they're keeping the troops in Washington until I think it's the 4th of March is because that was the traditional time of the inauguration. That used to be the inauguration day. I think that was when General Washington was actually first inaugurated. And if you haven't heard it, speaking of Washington, Jonathan Kahn, look him up. His last name is spelled K-A-H-N. No, that's not what it is. Okay, I'll have to look it up. In fact, I'll look it up right now while I'm talking, because I can do two things at once. I'm pretty sure that he basically has an open letter. I think it's just an open letter to, it's C-A-H-N, sorry. Jonathan Kahn. He has an open letter to the person occupying the White House, Joseph Biden. And it's kind of long. So you have to, that's nice. I just heard a snowplow go by, which means all the shoveling I did this morning is probably not even noticeable. Jonathan Kahn does this really good letter and talks about, he opens up with the first inaugural speech of George Washington and calling for unity and what was going on there. And what has happened and what Joe Biden's response was. And just talking about the issues of life and unity and all those other things. And it's, the contrast is pretty clear, but it's really interesting, folks. But I'd recommend that you listen to it, and I'll try to provide more information about that this afternoon as well. So, happy February. Hopefully everything goes well this month. And I want to say, we need to be, Scripture tells us to pray for those in leadership. And as far as we know right now, those people are in leadership. Whoever it is that's actually in leadership, pray for repentance. Pray that they, it's going to be a sad day. Here's the thing. More and more, when I hear the rhetoric and the untruth in the world, the things that are being said that are not true, the lies, the deception, it's more and more of that. The more I hear of that, the more there's this longing in my heart for Judgment Day. I just want the truth to be spoken, and even if that means, all the things that I believe that aren't true, that maybe there's stuff in my heart that's not true, that needs to just be blown away. Just blow it away. I'm ready for that. Just for God to just speak it once and be done. Be over with. No more arguing, no more blasphemy, no more misconception, fear mongering, no more deception. Just truth be truth. Bring it on. And I'm ready for that. There's something in me that just longs for that. And the sad part about that is, and I recognize for those who are so embraced in deception and mistruths and lies, things that are not of God, for those who are hanging on to those things, who think that they're doing well and they're not, this is terrifying. When he separates the sheep from the goats, it will be terrifying for the goats. And I don't want to be one standing there saying, ha ha, see there, told you so. Unless I actually did tell them so. I want to make sure that I was one who tried to pray for them to repent before that day. I don't want my heart to be one that was just all about me being right. Because they need to repent, even if it's just an hour before that day, that time. And, God says he doesn't wish anyone to perish. It's not in his heart to see anyone perish to eternal judgment. And I want that to be my heart. I don't want to be, I don't want to be that guy. So, it's very easy sometimes to go there when they get personal with stuff. When they start personally calling you names. And, recently I made a comment on a YouTube video, and it was the vice president of Afghanistan. He was going on about how the U.S. basically has started to pull out of Afghanistan, and the policy has, of course, now it's kind of in limbo because we don't know what's going to happen with the new administration for sure. I'm sure we're going to be back. I know we're going to go into Syria. We're going to be there. We're going to be in all these little wars are going to pop up again. We're going to be sending our troops all over the place again. I'm sure of that because of the people he's putting in place. That's just going to happen. And we're going to become the world's police again. And there are some people that want us to be, and there are others who don't. But, my comment was basically that, we're in Afghanistan because they're trying to blame U.S. that we started that war in Afghanistan. And there's some question as to whether or not as to why we were there. It was all because bin Laden was there. And they forget that there was 19 people who killed 3,000 people on a day, that's why we went into that war. That's what started that war. However, you could argue that, those 19 people did that because of what we did somewhere else. There's no end to this, okay? It all comes back to Cain and Abel. And one brother killed another. And things have been the same ever since. So, however you want to look at that, whoever you want to put the blame on, the blame is on the person who does the act, because there's no forgiveness and there's no backing off, diplomacy, clearer heads winning the day kind of thing. I think Trump had it right on some things there militarily with his foreign policy. He did some amazing things that they're not going to try to erase. Things they said that couldn't be done. John Kerry is now back in the news. He's back in the, he's the, Greens are now. He's the green guy. He's almost green from, he's got to be like 104 years old. He looks like Lurch. That was mean. So it's going to be interesting times ahead, folks. So keep praying for our leaders and don't back off. Just pray whatever needs to be prayed for them. Pray that they see the wicked ways that they're going into. We now have, federally funded abortions in other countries. Just all the things that So that's my show for the day, for my morning, my first day of February. And I hope you were enlightened. Hope you got a little bit out of this. I'm going to go back out and shovel some more snow and maybe get some lunch. Listen to Rush. That's about all I'm going to do. I'll probably shovel some more snow. And I'll do some voiceovers and I'll shovel some more snow. Because that's what I do. I shovel snow. Yeah. Hopefully I won't have a heart attack. I'm an old man. And I hear that old men have a lot of heart attacks when they shovel snow. So hopefully that won't happen today. But yeah. Once again, God bless. Have a great day. Hopefully Rabbi Rick will be back later today. If not, I will have more of this for you later today on the news, according to me. Have a great day, everybody. Thanks again. God bless.